Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno here in the studio. We'll talk Nations League a little later on in the programme, but we'll kick things off in South America. Argentina against Honduras. Argentina with a 3-0 victory. Lionel Messi, just if you haven't seen the third goal, it is exceptional. Such a good finish from him as he chips it over the goalkeeper. Argentina looked really good. And I suppose that's not really a surprise considering they are breaking records left, right and the centre at the moment. 34 games without defeat. That is the longest in Argentina's history. Tim Vickery, writing over on ESPN, said for much of his previous time in the national team, Argentina were a shambles. Plan A was to give the ball to Messi and hope. Plan B was to give the ball to Messi and hope. And there was no plan C, not now. Things changing then for the Argentinian national team. So welcome in Luis Garcia and Frank Leboeuf. Luis, can we just talk about how brilliant that goal was?
Dan, what can I say? I mean, you know that I'm a big fan of Messi. And of course, when you see these kind of things and all the talks that he's been going through to try to retire Messi, to try to see Messi finally away from the national team, away from football, and we all enjoyed this kind of moment. It's just brilliant because the awareness, the timing, the touch, that is just perfect. He knows exactly where the keeper is. He knows that he doesn't have time to go back. And that chip is just beautiful. And, well, another goal, another assist, another penalty score. So Messi looks like a young Messi, and he looks like he's looking forward to the World Cup. And, well, I think we are all going to enjoy a very strong Argentina.
I understand the sentiment from Team Vickery in that things have changed. Certainly things look a lot more organised than they have been in previous campaigns. But isn't plan A, B, C, D, E, F and G just to get it to Messi still?
Yes, but with a better base behind him and then a better approach ahead of him. What you're seeing from Argentina now that you were not seeing in the past, while teams in the past would defer to Messi, and then it went from deferring to Messi to depending on Messi. Now, yes, there's a dependency on Messi on certain moments, and I think that's the difference, that it isn't all the time about Messi, but in the key moments, in good areas, in advanced positions, now Lionel Messi is making that final pass. What was happening before was Lionel Messi was getting the ball from the center backs. He was passing it to himself in the midfield. He was opening it out wide to himself in the left-hand side, then crossing it to himself in the middle and finishing the chances himself. That was the expectation. That was never going to happen. Now there's a structure behind Messi that frees him up to do the things that he does in a more advanced position. And then there is trust from Messi that he's going to put guys in positions where they're going to be successful, and there is trust from other players that Messi is going to find them. This is a real concept of a team in which you have a lot of guys working, most of the guys working, and then Lionel Messi not working just for Messi, but Messi being part of the structure of a group. Not just Messi and 10 other guys, it's 11 players working as a team. That's a huge difference.
Frank, how difficult is it to get that balance right? You look back to, what, 98 when you won it. Zinedine Zidane, of course, very much the focal figure there.
Well, it's a balance. It's a mix of, as what Ali explained, that the trust that you have to have on the big star and the trust that the big star needs to have towards his teammates. And that's the balance that Messi couldn't find before, because I totally agree with Ali, but I want to emphasize the second part of his explanation, where even Messi couldn't trust his teammates, so maybe willing to do too much and in fact doing nothing or not enough for the World Cup especially. Now, because he trusts his teammates, he allows himself to give good balls to make sure, and we saw that the second goal that Argentina scored, where the perfect goal that he, the perfect pass that he made, like he used to do with Barcelona, he can do that with Argentina and make sure that he can serve his teammates, and to make sure that after that he can be very upset if he's not served the same way by his teammates. So that's the finest balance that you have to find. And don't forget that Zidane wasn't before the World Cup. He became Zidane because of what he did to us. And then we started to trust him. And then we tried to give even more for him, because we knew that because he was at his best, if we were giving 100%, that guy will make the difference. It's what's going on right now for Argentina, I think.
How cool is that feeling, Frank, when you have someone who you can just see taking it up another level?
Well, of course it makes a difference. We know that we play a collective sport, and I'm a lot of time, almost all the time, against the Ballon d'Or. But I'm capable of accepting the fact that some people are making the difference, and those people, they make people coming to the stands, fans coming to see something special, and those guys make something special to us as well, because you play, and again, as I said before, you give what you have to give, you give 100%, because you know at a certain point the guys will score, and it's never randomly that they do so. I'm sure it's not random that Zidane scored 2 goals in the final of the World Cup, scored 2 goals for Real Madrid in the Champions League with a fantastic volley, because those players do something special and they are dedicated to do so. And but they need the others. For us, it's so comfortable because you know at a certain point that if you do the job, you're going to be rewarded by something from those players.
If you were Lionel Messi, Frank, how committed would you be to PSG over the next couple of months?
Wow.
Well, you know, I think if you compare with last season, even if the Argentina being undefeated for a long time is also part of Messi performances last season, I think the performances of Messi this season makes a difference. And it increases the fact that Messi is trusted by his teammates because they feel that the guy is back to his best. So it's important for Messi to carry on working with PSG to get fit enough and to compromise between PSG and the Argentinian national team to make sure that he's going to be at 100% for the World Cup.
How much will it be on his mind, Luis?
Massive. I mean, at the moment, he's just to look after himself. But if you see the way that he's playing every single weekend and even midweeks, he's not running as much. He's controlling every effort. He's understanding that he cannot get injured. He's a winner, and we all know that his mentality is about winning every single game, trying his best. But now he knows that he cannot make those long runs. We saw in the footage when everything started, the ruffle, that fight in between, that when he's starting to try to make a long run, he stopped and trying to pass the ball, and he's not anymore trying to beat players, 2-3 players every single time. Oh, he understands his role in the team. He understands in the national team, but also in Paris Saint-Germain. And of course, his main target is, of course, winning the Champions League, winning the Liga. But his main focus at the moment is to arrive in the best condition for the World Cup. And that's what he's trying to do. He's balancing his efforts. He's trying to, when he's on the ball, make the difference. And, well, once again, he done it against Honduras. He did it at the weekend for Paris Saint-Germain. And that's the way that he's going to arrive. He needs to continue playing, and he knows exactly his body, and he's going to arrive in a fantastic moment.
What's Argentina's weakness?
I don't think they have many, but if I were to point out something that could potentially be concerning about Argentina is that sometimes the emotions of the games get out of control. And then in comes an irresponsible tackle in the worst time in a game that truly matters. So you get towards the end of the World Cup, you're in a knockout stage, now you're in a quarterfinal matchup, you don't need a red card. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps where Argentina sometimes can get out of control, in that the emotion of the game sometimes carries them into a position in which they allow those emotions to take over and they forget about their own qualities and they make the game about a fight. Argentina will be successful if they're able to find that balance between making the game a fight but then finding the quality right in the attacking half. So, yeah, we're going to be tough defensively. Yeah, we're going to defend well. We're going to be tight. We're going to challenge you. We're going to get up on your face. But when we win this ball, we're going to find Messi. Then he's going to find the solution for us going forward. They do that with consistency, the way that they have done over the last couple of years, and you're going to find Argentina being in the latter stages in the competition.
If you want to read Tim Vickery's article in its entirety, be sure to go over to the website to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In the Nations League, a disappointing performance from Spain in Zaragoza as they are beaten 2-1 by Switzerland. Both of Switzerland's goals coming from corner kicks. Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, this wasn't very good from your boys.
Yeah, we were looking forward to this game, to be honest. We saw the opportunity to Spain to continue at the top of the table, but we found out that the Switzerland was there and we was playing well and it was organized and they were not in a rush. They know their strength. Akanji has been impressive during the whole game. And well, in that pieces, we were so sloppy. Mm. Very bad defending, mad at judgment, no communication in between the players. And then on the build-up, I think we were too slow. It's a Spanish national team. I think it was 75% possession that we had the ball, but there's no clear chances. I mean, it's about trying to bring the ball to one side at a time, very slow. The players in the first half up front didn't make a lot of damage. Ferran Torres doesn't play at Barcelona, and you cannot expect that he's going to fly for Spain if he doesn't have the rhythm on the game. Sarabia is a little bit the same. Maybe it's not his position. He likes to play a little bit more on the right side. And Asensio first night was probably the best player of Spain in those first 45 minutes. And then when you realize that Switzerland is once again ahead on the score, you start rushing up things. And, well, Spain couldn't manage. In the second half, with a few of the new players, we've seen Nico Williams in the right side. He was sharp. He looks hungry to do things. And Borja Iglesias. But again, you can see that Spain is still not as the Spain that we want because of the pace of the ball and because up front you still need players who can score goals. And today we didn't have many.
I'd be really disappointed if I was a Spanish fan watching that today.
But no surprise that the areas that Spain struggled with today are the areas they've been struggling with for seemingly years. They cannot defend set pieces. That hasn't changed. And then the final third, creativity in the final third, for all the possession, for all the build-up, slow build-up, as Luis was just mentioning, slow build-up. Once they get into the final third, there is nothing surprising about Spain. Mm. Everything is so very predictable. And we go from point A to point B to point C to point D, and then we come back to point A, and you're not going to break anybody down doing that. And so the fears of Spain going into the World Cup are, where are you going to get the goals from? Are you going to create enough opportunities? If we're going to base our judgment on this, on the evidence that we saw today against Switzerland, then we must say that Spain is in trouble. Yeah. Now, we know that in the midfield is a very talented team. But when they go from the midfield onto the final third, they're limited. And I, if I were Luis Enrique, I would look for something different. If I don't think Álvaro Morata is going to be the guy, which may very well be, and that in itself is a problem, Let me see what Borja Iglesias looks in that position. Right. Is he going to occupy the two center backs? Because if he occupies the two center backs, then that allows the little guys, Gavi and Pedri, to be able to work underneath. And from there, you perhaps find something different. And because you have Borja Iglesias, you have a presence inside the 18-yard box, which Asensio today, when he came and showed for the ball, well, that's great, and that's how the goal came about. But for the most part, if he takes himself out of the middle, there is no option down the middle. Luis Enrique's got to figure out what is the best combination, and whatever we have done up until this point doesn't quite work because of the personnel that's available. So maybe you try something different. The last opportunity to do so is this last game coming up against Portugal.
Portugal impressed in their 4-0 victory over the Czech Republic, Dalot with a brace, Bruno Fernandes as well, getting on the score sheet, and also from Jota as well, to give them the victory. Now, given what happened with Spain, that now puts Portugal top of the Nations League group. Now, you may wonder what motivates Portugal to go out there and put in this sort of performance. We are told by very unreliable sources that they pinned this up to the locker room wall, Xhaka's power rankings as to who would win the World Cup, and of course, Portugal not even in the
disrespectful.
Top 10.
Disrespectful.
No, no, even England are ahead of them, and they're awful at the moment. Let's welcome in the man himself, shall we? Xhaka Hislop is with us, Frank LaPoof as well. Xhaka. How you doing?
not as good as it was yesterday, let me put it that way.
Well, yesterday you admitted you forgot Portugal.
Yeah.
So let's give you the chance to maybe redo. Where are they in the top 10?
I would probably put them...
He can't remember.
...around 7 or 8, in all honesty. And it was a really easy performance against Czech Republic today. The Czechs were just awful, so it's hard to really judge. And as good as Portugal were, I'm just not sure that they're going to go very deep in the tournament. I can see them getting out of the group stage, but not much further, I'll be honest.
Why are you squinting so much, Xhaka? What's happened to your eyes?
I don't know. I do not know.
Thinking.
Sorry for that.
You know what he was doing, right? He was trying to remember who was in my list.
I was thinking, I have to squint.
They said, do you want Frank in this segment? I said no, but apparently you had something interesting to say about Portugal, Frank. So away you go.
I have something interesting to say about Portugal. No, nothing much. But I was very impressed today. No. But again, Xhaka, I want to understand something because, you know what, I saw that you put Argentina first, you know, and according to what I saw with Brazil today, I'm very amazed that with your power ranking, you know, because really France... Third, I'm not sure they deserve to be there. And with all due respect for my national team, and I think even Portugal could be even more favorite than France. But I have nothing much to say about that. You know, good. it can be something you forgot. You know, Portugal has been very impressive today because they have options. With especially offensively, they have options to score many, many goals. And it's always important to have options. And defensively, they seem to be very, very strong. So. I'm happy that you put them back to your top 10. Let's see how it works with them, you know. But I really think that there is something special with that team.
Who's better, Portugal or Spain, Luis?
At the moment, I go to Portugal, of course. They look strong. No, definitely Portugal. They always compete. That's something that... we need to understand. There is a team, they always compete, good performances. Now they got players up front who can really run. Rafael Leao, Diogo Jota are very interesting players. They are doing so well, even that Bruno Fernandes maybe is not in the best moment in his former club, but he's doing great in the national team. And of course, Cristiano Ronaldo is always going to deliver. So I expect this Portugal to do well, not because of the game of today. I think they have the 5 shots on target and they score 4 goals, but definitely because they always compete. They normally look that they are not strong, that they struggle to get through the groups, that they struggle to get the results. But at the end, they always compete and they're going to be there fighting for everything.
Is Ronaldo starting no matter what, Shaq? This isn't a United scenario.
Yeah, I think he starts, and I'm not sure where the other options are. And I think the way he plays for Portugal suits him. He's the out-and-out striker, just plays through the middle. And they surround him with Rafael Leao and Bruno Fernandes, and they cover, they do a lot of his running. So I think it works for who Cristiano Ronaldo is now and probably who Portugal seem to want to be going into this World Cup. And I phrase it that way because I thought they were very attack-minded against the Czech Republic. The two wing-backs staying forward every opportunity they got, Dalot and was it Mauri on the other side. But that's not who Portugal have been in major tournaments. Portugal have been very defensive, very pragmatic. So I'm not quite sure what to expect out of them going into this tournament. But as good a result and performance this may have been today, I still don't see Portugal making it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And I say that without knowing the draw.
Just because you've never been there on holiday, you hate them.
Well, that's the fact. He was squinting there, so he must have been thinking.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
He must have been thinking. Yeah.
Great segment, Frank. Thank you very much for joining
us. It was
us.
Really interesting.
Just a reminder, Frank will be back. For extra time. Why is Robbo dressed like that? Check it out over on our YouTube channel.
Such an angry guy.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I want to take you back to earlier this month. Kylian Mbappe was asked about his relationship with Neymar. He said, "We have always had a relationship based on respect, but we've always had hotter and colder moments. There are periods when, as you see, we are the best of friends in the world, and other periods when we speak less. When you have two players with strong personalities like that, life isn't linear." Oh. Well, Neymar was asked after Brazil's victory this weekend about his relationship with Mbappe. Frank, what say you?
I don't understand them. You know, they have so many new people who are surrounding them to make sure that what they show to the world, it's good for the image of themselves. Where, you know, I guess, I'm really guessing that somebody told Neymar, you know what, at some point in some press conferences, you will have somebody will ask you about you and Mbappe. You know what? You always answer like politics know how to do. You know, we play together, everything is perfect in a perfect world. I love Kylian, I'm going to serve Kylian, and hopefully he's going to score many goals, and hopefully he's going to serve me. Bye-bye. That's the only thing fans want to hear, and that's the only thing fans should hear. Don't make people guess if you get along well or not with Mbappe, and it goes the other way around. I don't understand those kind of things, because of course, everybody's going to suppose that nothing goes well between them. They play together. They are paid by the same club. Why do you want to make stories about your relationship? What we want to see is what you do on the field. And if you don't do well, we're going to comment it. But we don't care if you can handle each other. I played for 10 years with somebody. I didn't even say hi to him. People didn't need to know. I'm not Neymar, I'm not Mbappe, but I had to do my job. And the job is to play football and to serve somebody if I had to, even if I hated him.
Enough about David Ginola.
No, what do you think? No, it's not David Ginola. Well done.
Suddenly I'm more interested about...
I know, who can Frank not talk to?
Who is it, that Frank
Hayes? Frank Burley?
Potentially. Maybe Neymar just didn't want to talk about it. Maybe he's...
But he knows, Ali. He knows that reaction.
I know. Maybe he didn't want to talk about it. The truth of the matter is, whatever Neymar says or doesn't say in this case is a big deal. So, to Frank's point, the way you diffuse this is by saying exactly what Frank just mentioned. You give... basically an automatic answer, automatic response, to the point to where then people stop asking the question. But it almost feels as the same for Neymar as it does for Kylian Mbappe, that they like the attention, that they like the friction, that they like the perception that these guys are fighting, and then people are always going to be sort of trying to figure out, are they getting along today or are they not? Is he passing him the ball or not? Is he taking the penalty or not? Because if you didn't like it, if you didn't like the attention, you diffuse it.
Right.
To me, it feels like all of this just goes a long way in filling their ego. They're talking about us separately, together, and I don't think they do it as saying, hey, let's do this as a plan. No, Mbappe's doing it on his own to fill his ego, and Neymar is doing it on his own to fill his ego, because both of them feel like they should be number one. And guess what? Neither one of them are number one. Lionel Messi is part of that team. And as long as Lionel Messi is part of that team, they have to defer to him. In fact, ideally for PSG, they wouldn't need to defer to anybody. Mm. They would play for each other. That's how they're going to be successful.
Now, more interesting stuff this week from Kylian Mbappe talking about playing for the national team compared to that of PSG. Of course, he scored that game against Austria. He said, I play differently with France. They asked me to do different things here than at PSG. Here I have much more freedom. The coach knows that we have Giroud as number 9, who occupies defences, and I can run into the spaces. In Paris, it's different. That doesn't exist. They asked me to play in the centre, and it's different. What do you make, Frank, of this?
Again. Please, Kylian, focus on what you have to do and don't comment it. If you have an issue, I guess you signed a new contract like a couple of months ago where you should have discussed about that before signing. It's not only about numbers, endorsements, it's also about what you're going to do on the field. And it should be discussed with maybe the coach. If it's not the coach, he didn't sign yet. You say, I don't want to play as a striker. I want to play at a fake nine. I want to have freedom on the field. And I don't care if Messi, Mbappe, Neymar are here. That's what I want to do. Otherwise, I'm going to sign for Real Madrid. But why do you want to talk now something you cannot do for your club where you sign and you still have to play until at least June? That's unfair to the club as well. That's unfair to Christophe Galtier, and that's unfair to your teammate, because you create issues. You are saying, okay, now you know what I want to do like Messi and Neymar, I want to be free. It's going to be a big mess if everybody does that. So you clever enough to know that making that comment doesn't serve you, doesn't serve your club, it doesn't serve your teammates.
It's really hard to have any sort of sympathy for Kylian Mbappe. The huge problem that he has at PSG that makes him play differently is that he has Neymar and Messi behind him. Messi, who can deliver a ball wherever he wants to, whenever he wants to. And so your sole job becomes, how do I find a running behind? How do I find spaces? Because I have a guy in behind who can find me. Wherever I run, he can find me. And Neymar, who can dribble around anybody in the world, and who I can combine with and will attract attention away from me. So now I am matched up 1v1. Now I have space to play that I wouldn't have otherwise. And you want me to feel what exactly by saying that you're told to play a different role at PSG? all strikers in the world, all strikers in the world would love to have the role that Kylian Mbappe has. If indeed they tell him, hey, just play down the middle, find the spaces in behind, score tap-ins, score game-winning goals, here's a hat-trick, here's another goal. What is the problem with that?
Here's 50 million.
Here's 50 million. And oh, by the way, every time you speak, every time you talk, we're going to listen to you because you're the future of the club. What is so wrong about this? In what world is there space to complain there? Mm. This gets spoiled right now. Spoiled and it's getting under my skin now. Wow. I'm getting angry now. Notice. That's it. I'm getting worked up.
Fear not. The soothing tones of the Gabbages podcast.
Hey!
Feel better. On a Monday. The latest episode, of course, will be available then over on the website. Big blow for Barcelona in their quest, of course, to take the title away from Real Madrid. It's early days, of course, we know that. But there's a big match coming up, and it's called El Clásico. And we know that Araujo and Koundé look like they both will be missing out on that tie with the injuries picked up in the international week. We've put De Jong and Depay in there as well. They also picked up Knox, but they should be fine. But Luis Garcia, let's focus on the defence, shall we, and how big a problem this is for your former team.
Yes, it is a big problem. It's true that at the moment, Xavi and the club made a lot of work during the summer to try to make this squad with stronger than last year, with more depth. And at the moment, they look like this. It's true that Koundé and Araujo are very important players. Xavi, for him, they are key players at the back. But we cannot forget that Eric Garcia has been in the 11 starters as well. That they got Christiansen, that also did very well when he's been on the field. That you still have in Piquet, that even though that is not counting for the club, but suddenly probably he's going to be an important and key player for the coming weeks. So I think that, it's a concern, but you can see that you still have him. I think that Xavi knows that the back is where they have the most problem. They got players up front that can score goals. They got a lot of players in the midfield, even though that Frank de Jong is not going to be available. They're still having Gavi, Pedri, a lot of good players with Busquets that can continue keeping this team in the top of the table. But at the back, they struggle. They still concede in moment very many chances. But when Xavi looks at the bench and sees that is Piquet there with a lot of experience, that is Christensen, that is hungry to get more minutes, I think it's still, even though they prefer the other players, still calm and knowing that he's got enough players to compete for the Liga trophy.
Big deal?
I think it is a big deal because there's a reason as to why you were so strong in moving away from Gerard Piqué, from Jordi Alba, that these are players that while you like to have them in the locker room and you like to have their presence, you don't necessarily want to have them on the field because otherwise you would have made them a first-choice starters, and they haven't been. The other thing is that you try to move away from having, say, for example, I'm just going to throw a name out there, Sergio Roberto, go play right back. And that's where you're back to because then who's going to play that position? So I do think it's a big deal, especially if these injuries extend all the way up until El Clásico. Now, think of those matchups and think of potentially what is it that Real Madrid does very well. In transition, Vinicius, and he's facing 1v1 against whoever comes out there, whether that's Sergio Roberto, whether that's Piqué that has to come into a wide area. You don't want any of that. Christensen in transition, you don't want any of that. So what, within that context, what does Real Madrid do really well? Well, they'll force a turnover in a bad area, and they go in transition right away, and they're picking Vinicius out. What is it that Barcelona really struggles with? It's transition defensively. Guys like Koundé and Araujo helped you deal with that because of their athleticism. When that athleticism is not there, it leaves a big hole for Barcelona.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. Of course, it is the biggest El Clásico in years, and it is live on ESPN+. Plus, as we thank Luis Garcia, coverage of that game will start early. It's early kickoff on Sunday, October the 16th. Coverage starts at 9:15 Eastern on Plus. It was disappointing to say the least, wasn't it, from a US perspective, that 2-0 defeat against Japan on Friday. Let's hear a story from Greg Berhalter trying to work out where it went wrong.
It's hard to tell if this evaluation period or guys feel like they're being heavily evaluated and it's affecting them.
Greg, you talked about how this is an evaluation period. I mean, did anyone help themselves today with that performance?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, you know, there's not 26 guys that are you know, it's not fair to say that everyone's on the block here. You know, I mean, there's guys that have a lot of water under the bridge with this team and played a lot of good games. I think when I evaluate the game in its entirety, I just say we performed below expectations. We weren't up to our normal standard, and that's almost across the board. So, you know, it's disappointing because you know you get the opportunity to play against a good opponent. It's going to be a technical opponent. They're going to be pressing. You know what the parameters are of this game, and it's a great opportunity for us, and I just don't think we took advantage of it.
A lot more reaction to what happened in that game on the latest edition of Football America. That's available now on ESPN Plus. Somehow they segue into having a go at me in this show.
What?
Very nice. Herc suggested that I didn't like Christian Pulisic.
Oh,
and not as much as I hate Hercules Gomez.
Wow.
I'll tell you that for now.
Did Seb stick up for you?
No, Seb didn't, did he?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it, though. That brings us to the end of today's show. Fear not, though. We've got Luis back, Frank back, Shaka here, and of course, you're here as well.
Well, thank you.
For extra time, which is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Ali is with us here in the studio. We also welcome Shaka Hislop, Frank LaBeouf, and from Liverpool.
Oh.
Luis Garcia is with us. Now, the reason that he's in Liverpool is that there was a Legends and Luis Garcia game against Manchester United.
Okay.
Anfield on Saturday.
Oh, very fit.
Luis, how would you rate your performance?
Average. Oh. It was very average.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'm sorry to say.
I noticed you weren't in the starting 11. You weren't in the starting 11.
Oh, no. Controversy.
No, I wasn't in the starting 11. We played second half.
Oh, and how do you think you're going to feel tomorrow?
Bad. I start feeling bad already. My knees and my back is hurting, but it's fine. It's always a pleasure to be back at Anfield.
Oh, beautiful. Very nice.
It's good. I'm good, guys.
Shaka, I feel we haven't seen you play in a Legends game for a while.
Yeah, and nor will you see me playing a Legends game for a while.
Why not? Where did you go? Japan or China? You went somewhere in the Far East, didn't you?
I went to China a while back.
Yeah.
I've been advised to retire by the Legends Selection Committee.
Oh, yes. Frank, how would you get on if you played these days?
I think I will be very, very bad, and I will have a bad rate. On top of it, I will need a surgery on my other knee, and I think I will get it very soon. So I don't know how if one day you're going to see me in on the field until the for the rest of my life. You know, I'm not really willing to do so because I'm fed up with football. I know that I can't follow, and I don't want to create pity for the people who come to see me. So I'd rather stay in the stand and watch the other play.
Full of sunshine today. That's like Craig Burley score living.
Deep.
I'm fed up of football. Don't want to play anymore. God. Wow. Blimmin' heck, Frank. You all right? What's happened today? What's put you in a bad mood?
I know.
No, I'm not in a bad mood. I'm being realistic, you know. I think I had a great career, but there is a time for everything, and it's better to go to give, you know, for people to feel sad because they don't see you anymore than to stay too much and too long. And playing again at 54 years old, when you think everything seems to be in slow motion because we can't run anymore, it's pitiful. So, don't do those games.
Wow, Luis, I feel this is a dig at you.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Frank, I think you should read
to
your
everyone.
Book.
To everyone.
You think, Frank, yeah, reread your book, yeah. Frank. Get you in a good mood again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Frank, read your book.
Uh-huh. Well,
you feel better.
Hey, but Luis, yeah, my book doesn't say, they don't talk about that, you know?
Yeah, Luis looks good.
Yeah, Luis looked fit,
yes.
Ready to go.
Yes.
But his performance was not as good as his fitness level.
Well, maybe he's just playing it down.
Oh.
Maybe it was good. Although I did see him try a flick, which really did not work out very well.
Oh, turnover.
Yeah, a flick. And who's the heavy gentleman marking you here?
He's not as fit.
He doesn't look as fit.
Wow.
If you can't get away from him, Frank is right. You do need to.
Yes. Pitiful, as Frank said it.
Okay. This is for all of you guys. We'll start off with Frank because I know that he has. Have you ever had your clock cleaned by a goalkeeper similar to the way Ronaldo got hit by Vaklic today?
Did I what? I have your
nose. Your nose broken.
Clock. Oh, yeah. Well, Shearer broke my nose twice.
Nice.
So, thank you very much. But it never happened like that with a goalkeeper. When I saw the action, I did like Ali was when he was commentating the movement. When he said, oh my God, because you know that everybody's looking at the ball
yeah.
and not what's going on in front of them. And you feel that something is going to happen. And it happened. And I did, ooh, that's ugly. Well, those kind of stuff arrive more to offensive players than defensive players.
Mm, that's true.
But I've never been smashed. I've never been smashed by a goalkeeper like that. That's an awful, awful word.
How many noses have you broken, Shaq?
None.
Oh, come on.
Very,
you must
very
have done.
Good, very good and clean
with your coordination.
He was staying on the line. He didn't want to go on the line. Hey,
with his pace, you know he was late coming out.
I never got close enough to anybody.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I never got close enough. That's the problem.
Ali, could you jump to the height of a goalkeeper's...
Well, I don't know if I could jump that high, but they certainly could go down to my level because I broke my nose twice doing that.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And it wasn't fun.
It looks quite straight now, Ali.
No, I don't think so. So you know that my beautiful, lovely wife, who I love very much.
Right.
Every so often, I'm just laying in bed comfortably.
Right.
She says, the doctor didn't do a very good job with your nose.
Wow.
Thank you, babe.
Wow. What
love you.
Imagine if you said that to her.
Doctor?
Wow.
I thought he did a great job, but apparently not.
Oh, it looks all right.
And what you have, Ali, what you have to love the most about your wife and all of us is that your wife has to be truthful. That's it.
Oh, yes, but Ali's got so many other problems. His nose is the least of it, surely.
No. I disagree.
There's so many things to focus on.
I don't want to comment. I don't want to comment that.
Ali.
I want to be lied to.
Ali, how many statues of Messi are they going to erect in Argentina if he finally wins the World Cup?
A lot. I think he... Once they won Copa America, I think he took a different step in the perception of Argentina fans and where Messi ranks in comparison to one player, and that one player is Maradona. If Lionel Messi is able to deliver a World Cup, more important than how many statues they put up in Argentina, he would now take a jump in Xhaka's power ranking of the best player ever. He would then become number one.
Yeah.
Because that's what's been holding him back, right?
Okay, Xhaka.
I've retired from that too. Oh, I've retired from power rankings.
A lot of retirements going on.
Football.
A lot of retirements going on. Xhaka, Andy Cole, Dwight York, Les Ferdinand. Start, bench, sell.
Oh, goodness me.
Ooh.
Start Dwight York, bench Les Ferdinand, sell Andy Cole.
Wow. Shaq, did you know how good Dwight
I'm
York was?
I'm not biased at all.
Yeah, exactly. Did you know how good Dwight York was going to be?
Yes. Dwight, when I was 10 years old, we played in a national under 12 team together. So I was 10. Dwight was 8. So, I mean, as you know, at that age, that, 4-year difference is huge. and Dwight held his own at 8 years old against under 12s. Wow. He was in the national team at 15 years old. When we lost to the US in Trinidad to qualify for 1990, Dwight was 16 years old and one of the standout players in the national team. He was always, as I say, from knowing him at 7 and 8 years old, he was always well ahead of his time.
You've played against all of these, Frank, I would imagine. How would you rate them? Cole, York, Ferdinand.
You had two beasts. Cole and Ferdinand were strong, especially Ferdinand. York was an artist. When he had the ball, he was thoughtful. It was very tricky, and he was very, very good. And I agree with that, with Shaka. If I had to choose between the three, I would start Dwight York because he had many tools in his luggage. Comparing to Les Ferdinand was more kind of a bull. Andy Cole was a finisher. So I would change. The only thing is I will bench Cole and sell Ferdinand. But Dwight York, the best of the best. Yeah, fantastic player.
Wow. For Luis, who did you enjoy playing alongside more and who complemented your game better, Xavi or Gerrard?
Oh, that's a difficult call. To be honest, I know very well Xavi, so we get along very easily. We understood each other because we started playing when we were 17 all through the academy and we played in the first team. So just with a look, he knew what I was going to make the move. And with Stevie, just in 1 year, he picked that situation, that instinct. And it will be difficult, but probably Xavi because I spent more time with him on the field than with Stevie G.
Luis, it's interesting. I mentioned this before. We listened to Peter Crouch talk. He was saying first day of Liverpool training, Gerrard.